Welcome back to another edition of Locked On Bills. I'm your host, as always, Kevin Messeri, here with another action-packed edition. Going to start this show off with some PFF grades and scores, get into some high-level stuff, talk about that in segment one. Segment two is actually going to be our Locked On crossover edition with Locked On Dolphins. We're going to bring in NFL expert Travis Wingfield to come through some of the best topics we have for this game coming up. So also check out his podcast, Locked On Dolphins, where I was on the crossover edition talking about some questions and comments that he had for me. So check that out in segment two, and as well as segment three, we'll be getting to him. He'll return and he'll talk more about the Miami defense in segment three and Miami offense in segment two. So make sure you stick on and listen to those. But first and foremost, we're going to talk about this game against the Jaguars. Want to talk about some high-level PFF stats and some things that really stuck out. On the offensive side of the ball, we're going to first and foremost start there. I mean, you had Robert Foster in his 34 snaps, scoring an 82.4 out of 100 via his really his pass statistic was 81.2. I mean, he's making most of his plays in the air. He's not run blocking, pass blocking, etc., or running the ball, football. So he's purely just in pass alone. He's been a pretty focal point of this offense now, you know, in the last 2 weeks, actually scoring a 90.5 against the Jets, which is actually higher in his 34 snaps against the Jets. So in these 2 weeks, he's definitely shown to be on the, shown enough to be on the field as one of their best weapons. Another big nugget is Josh Allen's best game as a pro via PFF. He scored a 79.1, which is very reasonable. Just edging out his game against Baltimore week one, coming in for Nathan Peterman with a 73.3 in his 32 snaps there, and his 76 offensive score against Minnesota with 67 snaps. But in his 58 snaps, he did score a 59.1. Real briefly on Josh Allen, the team is just better when he's in the lineup. 3-2 now when he starts and completes a game. When he, you know, comes in at Baltimore, that, you know, they lost due to being down. And then when he left, Nathan Peterman gets the loss in both of those Houston and Baltimore games. So 3-2 in games he started and finished. Obviously, the team's 3-4 in games that he's started in general. So I think that the guy, he's just a leader. I mean, look at what he was able to do running the football. I mean, he's able to do way more than ever expected. I think he's ahead of where people thought, especially coming off of an injury. I think he had one bad game, in my opinion, against Green Bay. I didn't really like that performance that he put forth there. But outside of that, I mean, he's been growing and developing. I mean, that Minnesota game, then the setback in Green Bay, then Tennessee was okay. He scored okay against Houston as well, 66.5 out of 100, which is decent before going out. He made that big time throw on that hurt, that injury. I think he was just starting to get going in that game. And then we lost him in, you know, for 6 weeks, essentially six weeks, you know, week six to week 12. So we're going to see 5 more weeks of Josh Allen. What do I want to see from Josh Allen? I want to see him go 3-2 in that stretch. I mean, be 6-4 in games that he started and completed. I think that that's a big, big momentum swing going into next year. Obviously, the team would then be 7-9. I think exceeding all expectations, and with the money that they have, the defense that they have, I think that would set them up for a long-term success. Some last grades, Deion Dawkins, 81, you know, finally pass block at 85, run block at 75, the Bills' best lineman, as he should be. So it was good to see him finally put together a solid, solid, solid complete game. He did as well against New York, so there's no coincidence there that he played back-to-back good games. He's had a few moments of struggling, so it's good to see him, as well as Josh Allen, link those up. Isaiah McKenzie, another name in his 33, you know, playing the slot receivers where he's listed. His snap counts were okay. I mean, he played 40 snaps in combined games, those 7 in against New York, and 33 actually scoring a 74.4, actually being an effective part of this Buffalo offense, a guy that I think will get more snaps going forward. So Isaiah McKenzie with a pretty good score in his limited games, and then having his best game as a Bill, go figure, is Kelvin Benjamin in limited 23 snaps. Maybe that's the role for him going forward. He scored pretty good against Indianapolis earlier this year, but definitely he might have found his niche as kind of like a down the field guy that gets lost in coverage more, uses like a tight end, especially, you know, having his worst year as a pro here in Buffalo. So we'll see what happens with him and his contract. I wouldn't be shocked to see the Bills try to bring the guy back on a reasonable deal. That's something to look out for, especially if they can get him really reasonably priced. Next up is LeSean McCoy scoring a 68.4. You know, then it gets brutal from there. LeSean, obviously not his best game. He scored so high actually because of his great pass blocking, something that not talked about a ton. Struggled against New England, and Derek Anderson was in the game. Other than that, he scored in the green pretty much every game. New England, Chicago, in back-to-back weeks, he struggled. But then he's pretty much scoring in the green as a pass blocker. Really, he adds that dynamic addition to the team, which can keep him in the game. So that's LeSean McCoy on the offensive side. Wyatt Teller, a guy that just started, really struggled in run, scoring a 49 back-to-back weeks, really. Against Chicago, scored a 59, so his run blocking has been poor. However, his pass has been 84 against Chicago, followed by 71 and a 72 for a total of a 78. So he's been a pretty solid pass blocker, struggled in run, only one penalty so far in this one. So, you know, he's been a guy that I think is where the team wants him to be. That's Wyatt Teller. There's really nothing else of note on the offensive side of the ball. The team did make a move getting rid of Colton Schmidt, a solid move that needed to happen. He was 33 net yardage worst in the league. Did sign Matt Darr, ex-Miami punter. Does bring a little bit of flair at that punting position. Did not punt last year. Interesting, and hasn't punt yet this year. So they did find enough in him to bring him in Miami week. So he's, you know, going to be used to that heat and ready to be punting down there. But he has not punt in a season and a half now. So we'll see what Matt Darr can do. Real quickly, though, wanted to talk about some last, you know, some PFF defense before we get Travis on here. Kyle Williams, 75.5, led the way. You know, solid game all around for Kyle. Two sacks, you know, recorded there. And then you're going to get Tre'Davious White at a 69 overall rating. Levi Wallace was a 68.6 overall rating. Jordan Phillips, 68.1. Jerry Hughes, 63.5. Some solid scores there. Other than that, it went downhill quickly. Matt Milano's next at 8.9. Struggled, missed a few tackles, struggled in run D. And, I mean, it was not a great day all around for this defense, in my opinion. I thought they played better in the second half, but that first half was brutal, thus bringing down some scores. Overall, Lorenzo Alexander scored a 44 in coverage, but an 83.3 in tackle and a 66 in pass rush. Shaq Lawson was average before getting thrown out in the third. But overall, it was actually, honestly, a pretty rough day by the defense. Taron Johnson struggled mightily in PFF's opinion, scoring a 47.4, 28.2 in tackle, 35 in run defense, okay in coverage. So maybe that shoulder injury was acting up a little bit. And Trent Murphy on his return did not play very well. Micah Hyde scored the lowest on the defense, pretty much struggling all the way around, was okay in coverage, but tackle and run D again were a major issue. So I saw some run blitzes that did not get home, some major issues in the first half that the Bills took run risks on that didn't end up working out. I believe they corrected there in the second half. But Leonard Fournette, you know, once again was out in the fourth quarter. Did they score from the one? Very possibly. But it is time to bring on Travis Wingfield. So stick with us after the break. He's going to talk offense, Miami Dolphins, Locked On Dolphins crossover edition here in segment two. And then segment three is going to talk defense and maybe some big picture stuff that we see going forward. So stick with us and stay tuned. Did want to take a quick moment to mention mybookie.ag. You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually, it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, I don't know who's going to win these games. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to check out MyBookie. Anytime someone goes in my DMs or just asks me for advice, trust me, guys, they are your best bet this season. Lay down some cash and win big today. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been really good to me. That's why I'm urging you to make your way over to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have the best in-game live betting and reward player perks, which is one of the best in the business. So for your fantasy guys out there, you can bet over under on how many fantasy points a player will score each week. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON, that's locked on, and visit MyBookie, MyBookie, using promo code locked on, and they will match 100% of your deposit up to $1,000. You play, you win, you get paid. All righty. Thanks for welcoming back. We're going to do this, you know, second segment here. We're talking about crossover edition, Locked On Bills, Locked On Dolphins. Your host, Kevin Messier here. Travis Wingfield of Locked On Dolphins here with me. One of the best on our podcast. He always brings, always at the top of our network. Travis, how you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic, man. How about yourself?
Hey, doing well. Getting ready for this barn burner matchup of, the Bills, two wins in a row. The Dolphins still existing there at 5-6, right? Really match up to see who can survive this thing. Maybe put some pressure on that sixth wild card spot. So right at the top, talk to me about the Dolphin season at whole. I always like to ask this. Is it the way it went that you wanted it to go? Did you expect more? Do you think that they're still surviving in a playoff hunt? Kind of give me the big picture.
You know, it's funny. I actually got the first six games right in terms of going win-loss. I had the 3-0 start. I had the two road losses to the Patriots and Bengals, had us beating the Bears. And then it kind of went off the rails in that Detroit Lions game when Brock Osweiler was out there for game number two. And the longer Brock played, the worse things got. So it got to a certain point where the offense became just completely unfunctional. You guys scored something like 40 points against the Jets. We managed to score six offensive points against the Jets and beat them with a pick six. So the Brock Osweiler era, all the injuries on the receiver core, all the injuries on the offensive line have really decimated this offense. Adam Gase has just become ultra conservative, doesn't really trust his quarterback even now that he has Ryan Tannehill back. So it's been an underwhelming year, despite the fact they've won, five games that they probably could have lost more than they won, or more games that they did win, excuse me. So I think it's, I expect it to be like 6-5 right now at this point of the year. So I guess it's not that far off expectations, but just the way they've arrived here and the lack of firepower and offense has been really disappointing so far.
What game did you say should have gone the Dolphins' way that didn't?
No, I think like otherwise, they easily could have lost to the Raiders. They were down in that game late. Derek Carr threw a pick in the end zone. The Jets kind of came back late on us as we just basically ran the clock out for 30 minutes with a 20-point lead and almost allowed them to come back. So those games, and they probably should have lost to the Bears at home with Brock's first start too.
Gotcha. So I want to get into the Dolphins' offensive side of the ball. Player, obviously, that you mentioned, Ryan Tannehill. You talk about him on your show. Check that out, Locked On Dolphins. But to our Bills listeners, here in Buffalo and maybe across AFC East, you have like such a mixed opinion on him, similar to the quarterback here in Buffalo. What can you say about Tannehill? He's a guy I actually like. I think the Dolphins are better when he plays. I've always thought he was solid. Just a run-of-the-mill, top 20, NFL quarterback to me. I thought he was deserving of that extension. So talk to me about Ryan Tannehill. What's the opinion of him right now? Is it better now that Brock Osweiler got to play? I guess talk to me, how did he look coming out of the injury too?
It's tough to kind of place where the fan base comes down on him because there is a vocal minority that is just so abrupt about their feelings about how much they dislike Tannehill. So you get a lot of that on Twitter, social media, whatever it is. Personally, I still think Tannehill has all the physical traits you could possibly want. He can really drive that deep out route to the field side of the formation. He can drive the ball down the seam. He's got the big time arm. He's got plus escapability. He's got plus athleticism. But there's just this it factor that kind of is lacking. And I think a lot of people want to put quarterbacks in tiers. You obviously have the Brady, Rodgers, Breeze tier, in my opinion. And then you come down to like the Russell Wilson, Ben Roethlisberger, those types of guys. And then there's that next tier of guys that kind of fluctuate in that, like you mentioned, top 20. So from that 15 to 20 range, sometimes they'll sneak up into the top 12 or so. That's kind of where Ryan Tannehill comes down. But right now he's a guy held together by duct tape and bubble gum because he's coming off that knee injury. The shoulder is – he had a couple throws down the field where he didn't have that same zip, so I wonder how healthy he is right now coming off the shoulder injury. But he did play well within the, within the confines of the offense. It was a very basic, conservative scheme. They ran the ball three times on 3rd and 10 in this game. So the trust level, I don't know if it's because they don't trust him in general or because he is nursing that shoulder injury, but there is a definite disconnect there between Gase and Tannehill, Osweiler, whoever the quarterback is. And the passing game in general has just not been good this year. So, the mixed bag kind of comes all down to the culmination of these last five games. I doubt he can do much to kind of turn that around. I think Miami's going to be in the quarterback market next offseason for sure.
Really? Okay. Where do you see Tannehill? What do you see going on in the offseason with him?
Well, part of the problem with him is like that lofty contract that he has right now because they kind of push the money back into 2019 as well as 2020 for the reworking of his deal they did this offseason. So I think he's owed something like $18 million in cash next year, which is too much. and that doesn't go into what's actually the cap hit on his contract. So I imagine they'll try to reconfigure that deal. I think Teddy Bridgewater is going to be a high target for them, possibly a first round draft pick. We'll see about that. But Tannehill could either get cut, he could get restructured, and I doubt someone trades for him because of the contract, but I think that could be on the table as well.
So by and large, the Miami offense, what can you tell me about it? I noticed Frank Gore's getting a lot of time. Kenyon Drake's a guy I personally have always liked. What's going there at the running back position, and talk to me about the skill position there and on the offensive side.
Yeah, you're talking to the president of the Kenyon Drake fan club.
Okay, good.
He is criminally underused, and that's kind of my biggest, the thing really sticking in my craw about Adam Gase is the way he uses his offensive personnel. And I'm sitting here looking at my computer screen with Albert Wilson and Jakeem Grant doing a high five as they roll into the end zone. Obviously, Wilson's out. He was fantastic this year, Kevin. He was so good when he was healthy. And Jakeem Grant was making big plays too, but they never use him. And it's the same case with Kenyon Drake, who had 13 touches, 96 yards, 2 touchdowns on Sunday. It's like 13 touches. I mean, why can't we give him more than that? And there's been games this year where he's had 3 carries and like 1 catch. So he is kind of in the garage right now. Last year, during the last 5 games of the season, he led the NFL in rushing. Maybe that'll happen again. I doubt it. But he is just really criminally underused in this offense.
Any particular reason they are deciding Frank Gore carries, or what's the explanation on that?
I think that he's a little bit too much. He presses a little too much. I think some of the lack of carries goes into that because, he's a big play guy. You guys saw it in Buffalo. He had an awesome run against you guys last year where Tre'Davious White had the corner and Kenyon Drake's speed made that not even a contest. So he is a big play guy. He can definitely bounce it and hit the home run, but I think he probably tries a little bit too much, and Gase wants those 4 to 5 yards to give himself a second and third and manageable.
Okay. Guy I liked, I maybe that's why I like him from his Bills games, two games down the stretch there against Buffalo. Bills needed them both. They took them. I thought Fails put on a good show there in the second half. but it was interesting. The Bills needed those two. Maybe it's reversed this time around for the Dolphins in kind of reverse situations. Talk to me, Nick O'Leary, he's a guy that left Buffalo. The Bills went, more athletic. I don't really even know what the word is. They picked some undrafted free agents at tight end over him and a converted quarterback in Logan Thomas. Jason Kroom, a guy they really like at tight end. Nick O'Leary, is he starting in front of Gesicki, or what exactly the deal is with him down there?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. He actually replaced a guy that was a former Bill as well, in Marquise Gray, who was supposed to be kind of the number two tight end / H-back type of guy that can do a lot in the running game. And that's what Nick O'Leary has been, like a 25, 30 snap a game, does a lot of work in the split zone, coming across the formation, hitting those blocks. He hasn't really got involved in the passing game since his first game active. But yeah, he's ahead of Mike Gesicki. Durham Smythe, the other rookie, jumped ahead of Mike Gesicki, who right now, in my opinion, is kind of like a tear down rebuild type of guy. He's lost right now, and it hasn't worked out for him in his rookie season. I think they're going to have to just redo his entire game for year number two, because he's a mess right now.
Interesting. Offensive line, lastly, anything you can note on that at all for our listeners who might be not as in tune with maybe anyone but Laremy Tunsil?
Yeah, Laremy Tunsil's been an elite left tackle this year. He's been awesome. Juwan James either has a great game or a terrible game, so we'll find out which one shows up on Sunday. On the interior, we've been ravaged by injuries. Jesse Davis is the long-term right guard. He's okay. It depends on who he goes up against. I bet Kyle Williams can probably get him a few times if they match up. And then on the left guard and center position, we had Josh Sitton and Dan Kilgore both go out with season-ending injuries back in September. They have not replaced Josh Sitton. Ted Larson is the guy that was supposed to come in for him. He got replaced by Jake Brendel, who came back from the IR to start the year, and he played really well. And then our center got hurt, so Brendel had to move to center, and Ted Larson comes right back into the lineup, and he is a disaster. That's the guy you can pick on and really get after for the Dolphins.
Great. I mean, it's good to know for matchups for the Bills listeners out there that, maybe try to take advantage of that interior as, looking for a way to win. Do want to, after we hit this, I want to come back and talk about the Miami defense, an intriguing unit as well. So stick with us here on the Locked On Bills, Locked On Dolphins crossover as your local daily experts. This episode is brought to you by Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best battery heated clothing. Heat on demand at the touch of a button. Control your environment with Action Heat. Action Heat clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heating panels similar to a heated car seat that can reach temperatures up to 135 degrees, that's right, and are powered by rechargeable 5-volt lithium-ion batteries that last up to 12 hours on each charge. Action Heat batteries can also be used to recharge your phone or any other gadget while you wear them. Action Heat is available in men's and women's and has a great new style and models just released this winter season. Make winter activities more enjoyable with a blast of warmth. Action Heat is the perfect solution to keep you toasty and warm, even in the most frigid weather, and especially if you're at one of those cold weather games that we know well and that we love here in Buffalo. We've also got a special deal for our listeners. Take 20% off your entire order using promo code LOCKEDON. That's actionheat.com/lockedon to check out everything Action Heat has to offer. That's right. That's actionheat.com/lockedon, or you can use promo code LOCKEDON at checkout to save that 20%. Stay toasty, warm, while you enjoy all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. All right, Kevin Messeri and Travis Wingfield here back for the final edition and the final segment here of the crossover show. I want to talk a little bit more about the Miami defense. You know, one that I've always thought is pretty solid. You know, we'll start at the top with, you know, the front seven. What can you tell me about what's going on there? You know, how have you liked Robert Quinn? And, you know, get into it. Raekwon McMillan, a guy coming off of injury last year, you know, kind of in a similar mold of a guy that you want to make a long-term AFC East middle linebacker. So, you know, hit it up with me.
Yeah, I think this defensive line is in need of almost a complete rebuild, which is sad to say because it was supposed to be a strength coming into the year. You lose William Hayes to an injury, and he was really a key part of the defensive line rotation as far as stopping the run, and he was really good at that early in the year. He was good early in the year last year, but he's missed, you know, the last 9 and now like 15 games of the season the last 2 years. So he's out. But beyond him, Robert Quinn just hasn't really gotten home. The pass rush hasn't been there. He's been okay against the run. On the inside, Vincent Taylor was experiencing a breakout second year, a Pro Bowl second year, and he got hurt as well. So he's out. We now have two street free agents in Sylvester Williams and Ziggy Hood, two guys that haven't played quality ball in some time. They're out there doing their thing and kind of getting ran up on. So it's really weak on the interior. As far as the linebackers go, Kiko Alonso makes a bunch of splash plays. He always kind of finds the ball in terms of getting interceptions or maybe fumble recoveries, and that probably – boosts his value in some fans' eyes, but he's a tire fire, man. He is always taking the wrong gaps, always in the wrong angles, and missing tackles, getting washed out of the formation completely. He's lost in coverage. As far as coverage goes for Raekwon McMillan, he can't do it, and it sucks to see because Jerome Baker, the rookie linebacker, fellow Ohio State Buckeye, is much better in coverage, much better going out to the flats, much better speed, and for some reason, they still go with McMillan and Alonso in a lot of the nickel packages, so they need to, I think, build that linebacker crew around Jerome Baker. Definitely get out of that Kiko Alonso contract, which was absurd the minute he signed it. And Raekwon, we'll see on him. I think he has some room to grow and develop, but it just hasn't happened for him yet.
Gotcha. That's interesting. I mean, he's a guy I liked. You know, he took his injury last year. Kind of reminded me of, you know, when the Bills, you know, kind of came up and got Reggie Ragland, then his rookie year.
Absolutely.
Kind of similar scenarios to that. I mean, obviously they're not the same player.
But he kind of is in the sense that he can really bang between the B gaps in the running game. When he gets it right and he goes forward, he can really make some plays in the B gaps.
Yeah, I mean, so we can feel you there. And what happened here with Reggie Ragland, would have liked them to try him out a little bit more. But hopefully – you know, for you guys, he figures it out, and for us, he doesn't. So yeah. Then that secondary intrigues me. Obviously, Minka Fitzpatrick, TJ McDonald's another safety. Talk to me about, you know, Xavier Howard's a guy I like. I'm sure you do too. Tell me about that. I mean, Bobby McCain's in there. What's going on there in your secondary?
Yeah, I think Xavier Howard might become the highest paid cornerback in the NFL this offseason before he hits free agency. He's really good, man. I wrote an article about just kind of some of his skill sets and breaking down the film, whether it's the instincts, the physicality, the ball skills. I mean, you've seen it. He has 9 picks in his last 16 games going into 2017. So he is just really, really damn.
Didn't you back-to-back last week before halftime? Am I mistaken?
Yeah, back-to-back plays. So he picked off Andrew Luck twice in the game and picked off Tom Brady twice in the game. Yeah. The last year. So, I mean, he's just been really, really solid. So he's locked down. This is the best portion of the team in totality, in my opinion. Minka Fitzpatrick had a rough day against T.Y. Hilton, but that will happen. Some of those throws they made were just perfectly thrown balls that you can't defend in today's NFL, but he is really, really good in coverage. He'll take away your slot receiver pretty much all the time. So he's really great. Bobby McCain, you know, he's had an up and down year. He's fought through some injuries. He's a captain on this defense, but he's much better inside, not really worth his salt on the outside. At safety, I hate to say this because he's one of my all-time favorite Dolphins. Rashad Jones is kind of slowing down a little bit at age 30, 3 consecutive years with a labrum injury that's, I think, really hampered what he can do physically and both playing the run and the pass. And then you mentioned TJ McDonald, who, that was such a weird contract when they signed it because they signed him. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, they signed him to come – for, you know, 1 year deal, and then he plays like two preseason games and they give him an extension despite the fact that he has an 8-game suspension, and he has not been good in almost any of the games he's played for Miami. So I imagine he's gone at the end of the year. But Xavien Howard and Minkah Fitzpatrick are probably two of the guys that are going to build this defense around long term.
All right. No, I really appreciate the insight for our listeners there on the Miami defense. Injuries, anything long term, anything, at least maybe we'll start short term. We'll start there. You talked about the long term. Anything short term on the Miami offense or Miami offense or defense that will keep them out of this game?
I think right now they're pretty healthy as far as guys that are not on IR. I mean, I'm looking at my list right now. Vince Taylor, Jakeem Grant, Josh Sitton, William Hayes, Albert Wilson, Daniel Kilgore. We got tons of guys on the IR. Obviously, we just got Ryan Tannehill back, but Danny Amendola got nicked in the last game, so I'm not sure his availability. And Devontae Parker is always, you know, one hangnail away from missing a game, so we'll see what happens with him.
Okay. No, that's good to know. I mean, injuries can change the outcome of a game plan. Sure. I mean, we've seen it. The Bills are a completely different team when depending on who they're suiting up and who's active and who's inactive, particularly definitely, as you know, at the quarterback position. But give me your prediction of this game. What could go right for Miami? What could go wrong? And what are you expecting here as you reach the desperation period for the Dolphins?
Yeah, I think that game on Sunday was probably a killer to their playoff hopes because of tie-breaking scenarios. If they had won that game, they'd be tied with the Ravens right now at 6-5. They'd have the head-to-head on the Titans, on the Colts, and just really be in great shape to make a run. But now, I don't know how they make the run to the playoffs because they still have the Patriots at home, the Vikings on the road. Obviously, going to Buffalo Week 17 is never an easy game for the Dolphins. So how they can find – even if they get to 9 wins, I don't see them getting in. But I think this team right now probably finishes anywhere between 7-9, 9-7. So let's go safe and call it 8-8. As far as the game on Sunday, I do think they'll win because they're at home and they're just a better team at home. They're different at home. And even though Josh Allen presents a lot of things that have troubled this Dolphins defense, as far as the athleticism and being able to make plays off script and running around, that's been a big issue for the Dolphins defense for several years, as you well know, with Tyrod Taylor. But I think that just the general lack of skill players on the outside for the Bills and maybe some of the run blocking issues and off that right side where Cameron Wake lives might cause enough issues for the Dolphins to get a win on Sunday. Yeah,
that's definitely, a really interesting portion of how this game's going to go. I think it's actually going to be minorly a decent game for the records that this presents, always a good battle. I think there's going to be some solid plays both ways. I don't think it's going to be a boring game. I actually am anticipating a decent football game in this one. I really am. And I have them down as a split as well. A 1-1 split with the Dolphins pulling this one off and maybe coming up in week 17 in Buffalo. I might not be as kind to them, but we'll see how the teams look at that point. Week 17, right? Is it week 16 or week 17?
Week 17.
It is week 17. Okay, cool. Well, until week 17, this is your Locked On Bills, Locked On Dolphins crossover edition with your host Kevin Nasseri and Travis Wingfield. Tell us where we can find you and, coming up for game week, talk to me about what you got going on.
Yeah, it's at Wingfield NFL on Twitter, and I write tons of columns on LockedOnDolphins.com with lots of film breakdowns. That's my bread and butter, so check me out there. As far as this game on Sunday, I actually got a pretty cool opportunity. I actually live in Seattle. I don't know if you knew that, so I'm on the opposite side of the country.
No, I didn't know.
But I actually got invited by the Dolphins press PR department to come out and cover a couple of games from the press suite and do the whole locker room experience afterwards. So I'll be in Miami for these next two games against the Bills and Patriots. So looking forward to that.
Well, they'll have a special place in your heart then for these two games. So we're going to have to catch back up with you after the post these two games and back in week 17, when we might have more big picture stuff to talk about, unless the Dolphins are still in that hunt. We'll catch up and talk to you about your experience. But from Locked On Bills, Locked On Dolphins, I'm Kevin Masseri, and that's Travis Wingfield.
Thanks a lot, Kevin.